London, well known for its underground rail system, and you say there are many strange stories out there.
Exactly. Well, London Underground is quite a spooky place. There's many, many ghost stories which have been documented in countless books. But the weirdest stories I've got from the London Underground, one concerns...
And it's old down there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's sort of... There's disused stations. At night, it's very sort of dark and sort of very remote. And there's a mix of urban legend down there and also monster stories. We've got reports that many, many years ago, there was said to have been... A kind of a wild man found in the wilds of Exmoor, which is down towards Cornwall in the West Country. And this wild man was transported to a secret underground location underneath London Underground. Whether this was true or not doesn't explain the fact that several kind of travellers on the London Underground in the past have seen this bizarre hairy humanoid resembling a Bigfoot-style creature. Now, of course, we don't have many reports such as Bigfoot in the UK, because even if it was a real creature in the US, our forests or woodlands wouldn't be able to harbour such a creature, because we've never had an ape species and certainly it's not large enough. But people were seeing this strange spectral creature. But there's also reports as well of strange cannibal kind of, inhuman kind of race living underneath the London Underground, feeding off tramps and drunks and rats and things like that. And we've also got a great legend of a figure known as the Platform Maniac, which was kind of a spooky kind of urban legend. This guy going around, or a spirit that used to push people onto the railway track. So it's a lot of it is based on urban legend. But again, when people start to believe in it, it scares a hell of a lot of people.
It sure does. And, you know, and you just need a few of those cases where people then begin to widely tell each other and the thing spreads like fire, doesn't it?
Exactly. It's the same as, you know, you've got the so-called alligators in the sewers in the US, and there are some reports where alligators have been found in the sewers. It's not if it's just all come from, you know, and we've had that kind of thing for centuries. Urban legends are very powerful things, and it spreads like sort of Chinese whispers originally and ends up like wildfire. If it's got that kind of enough staying power, then you find that it can spread all over the place, and it is amazing some of the stories that do, you know, circulate around the world at the time, and certainly lots of fears as well. Like I say, if you fear something, then you can always go and tell a friend who tells another friend, and by the time the story emerges at the other end, it's completely different.
Well, there's always a basis of some kind of truth, I think, behind these stories. There's some episode, something is happening that is happening. People are witnessing, they're seeing these things, like you say, huge birds perhaps. So there's a basis of some fact there. And then all of a sudden, things really start getting out of hand.
Yeah, I think that's you know, how we get some of these stories. It's something that we need, and I think we unintentionally put it out there. And once the newspapers become involved, if they, you know, if you say to somebody you've seen a, you know, 5 foot sort of bird-like creature, then the paper might say it's 7 foot, and then there's always somebody. I'm not saying everybody's seeing pterodactyls, but like you say, people are seeing very, very strange creatures in the woods, in the oceans, in the skies, and not all of these are simply from, you know, you can't have a Mothman living in West Virginia. There's got to be some kind of so-called paranormal explanation for this. And we call it paranormal because it's the only way we can categorize it. But these things are clearly very, very complex. And I still think personally, it's a lot of it's to do with the human psyche, which then all, of course, makes us question ourselves.
Oh, Neil, tell us about the London Mermaid story.
The London Mermaid was quite a classic story because if you go through lots of folklore, particularly around the UK, dating back centuries, we used to have kind of exhibits, a bit similar to, you know, in the US you had P.T. Barnum, who was a great showman, used to go around the countryside and would exhibit so-called sea serpents in a tank and things like that. And, of course, lots of these were simply hoaxes. But, of course, back then the public needed this kind of exhibit because back then, of course, the public weren't able to afford trips to faraway lands. They would go to these local freak shows to an extent, and they would be drawn in by these weird exhibits. And during the early 1800s, there was the rumours that there was this mermaid was actually being shown around after it was caught by some fishermen, and they sold it to this guy who decided, as a bit of an entrepreneur, he would go around London and try and sort of exhibit this creature. And of course it drew the crowds in, but it took quite a while before people started to realize that it was simply a mishmash or a hybrid of kind of bones, bits of wire, a monkey's head, and a large fish.
So he made it. He created the thing.
Exactly. Right? But again, you look through folklore, and the mermaid, the unicorn, the dragon are huge and very sort of predominant in world folklore. And you wonder if some of these stories, although we end up seeing them as hoaxes, have ended up as a result of something very real that somebody see one day. And then, of course, these creatures are born as folklore. But like I say, this thing was exhibited all around London for a long time until the guy was kind of found out.
There is a guy that makes these sea creatures, Neil, out of real fish parts. And, I mean, absolutely incredible. I mean, you would look at these things and go, there's no way these creatures exist on this planet. These things have got to be extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
But he makes them.
Oh, I'd love one of those.
I'm gonna find that for you. And he sent one to us, and we took a look at the thing. And I tell you what, we opened up the box, and this thing really smelled. I mean,
That's the problem.
I mean, it was made with real fish parts, even though he tried to dry them out. But I mean, his work was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, sounds like it'd be good to have one of those in the bedroom or something.
Yeah, absolutely. you'll be the only one in the bedroom with a creature like that. Let me tell you.